from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Well, here Jonas swings and drives one deep out into right center field, headed toward the bullpen. It's gone into the bullpen. Jonah wastes no time in taking advantage of that opportunity. His ninth home run of the year gives Texas a 3-0 lead.
Rangers lose the series but win yesterday. Andrew Heaney, props, man. Props. This is your home for Rangers baseball. They are still 5 games back in the West. Sean, RJ, and Bobby on DFW Sports Station. Jonah Heim was in a 1-for-17 slump before that with a 3-run shot with 2 outs in the 4th. 1-for-17. Not good. And not good for the offense overall again. So Andrew Heaney doing his thing. Corey Seager extended his on-base streak to 21 games. That's the longest active streak in the bigs with a single in the first. And now they're wondering about Scherzer, because Max said it just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
It was not there on Friday. He had nothing in the arm. And Bruce Bochy was like, let's go ahead and get him out of there. 6 starts since coming off the IL, could not make it to the 3rd. Labored through 53 pitches in 2 innings, allowed 4 runs on 2 walks and 5 hits. And then you saw Saturday, Eovaldi get knocked around while they're in the big dog seats.
Friday was Eovaldi. Saturday was Scherzer.
Saturday.
I think we expected some of this from Max when we first came back. Like, we just don't know what to expect day to day.
I didn't expect him to make his 6th consecutive start without getting shut down again.
Absolutely.
Like, I honestly did not. I thought he would go out there for 1 start. They would go, he's cooked, and then he'd be done. That's what I expected.
I had 0 expectations. Whatever they got, they got. Like, that was my expectations for Max when he came back. The fact that he's made it, like you said, 6 starts is impressive enough on its own. It's just his age. Coming back from injury, you never knew what you were going to get. So, am I surprised that this happened? No, not even the little bit, least bit surprised.
I'm impressed, honestly. The biggest thing with me is I was certain he would step out there and he'd be more wild than he is. He's not walking a lot of guys. At least I know the strikeout stuff hasn't been there. He's still had some times where he's gotten hit hard. But I've honestly been surprised he didn't come back. I was expecting him to come back and start walking like 4 every 9 innings.
How come?
Because I just, with that arm the way that it is, I was just expecting him not to have the same command of the strike zone.
Man, I'll be honest. Like, I thought maybe he would be walking guys more, only because he doesn't have like bat missing stuff the way he did a handful of years ago, that he would have to pitch outside the zone more to get him out.
Tell you what, there were boos raining down on Saturday in the 8th. People were making note of this. When the Orioles had their 11th hit fall in front of Adolis Garcia, boos raining down at the Globe. and let us know if you were there for it at 877-881-1053. Zero booze in Cooperstown yesterday as Adrian Beltre officially went into the Hall of Fame. Of course, David Ortiz had to make it about himself a little bit by coming out there and touching Beltre's head. And, of course, the one who helped make that famous was his bestie on the field. This is the official Hall of Fame intro from Elvis Andrus that played yesterday at the Hall.
He's unique, you know, in my eyes, in my heart. He's a unique type of player, type of talent. I think there's like so many things that he did, especially as a hitter. He was the best. You're not gonna see another Adrian in ages. Playing against him was no fun, man. You know, especially I'm a right-hander. I love to bunt. That was one thing, you know, like when we did our reports before the game, one of the things was, you know, if you're going to bunt, make sure it's to the right side, not to the left side. Same thing when you hit. Sometimes you hit a bullet. 99% their hits or doubles, and then, you know, when he was there, they're pretty much out. Nothing goes by. It was pretty much a wall. For me, the best. Third baseman ever. That one knee swing, that was scary. I mean, the funny thing is, like, everybody in the team, we tried, at least during BP. And I think I tried once, and I almost pulled my whole quad. And I was like, how do you do it, man? But it was just unbelievable because, you know, sometimes you might try to, you know, to do it. But for him, he said he never tried it. It was just a natural move. He hates it. Until this day, if you touch his head, he's going to, anything he got around, he'll throw it to you or he'll punch you. I couldn't resist. I was not going to do it because, you know, the ceremony is about Adrian and everything he's done. But, you know, when we did the rope, and then he turned, and I think God was like, come on, Elvis, you got to do it. When it happened, you know, it was good. I think it was perfect. He was with the person that he loved the most, which is his family and a friend, close friend. So I congratulate him for sure. And we talked, you know, we pretty much didn't talk about it because I always tell him, I was like, I knew, dude. Like, I knew it was going to happen. Like, I knew since day one we played that you were going to be, you're a Hall of Fame. You're that type of player. You're that unique. And you deserve it.
So there's Elvis with the nice recollection.
Boy, that seems a little LeBron-like from Elvis to say he knew from day one in 2011 that Adrian Beltre was going to be a Hall of Famer. That seems a little extreme. I don't think anybody was saying he was going to be a Hall of Famer in 2011.
What else did others have to say, Bob?
There was a ESPN piece that they had up where, and this is something that they gathered a lot of this back in January when the announcement was made, but they had republished it and added some extra stuff to it. Alden Gonzalez over at ESPN, about just getting opinions, thoughts from people about why Adrian Beltre is a Hall of Famer. And so talk to Pujols, talk to Elvis Andrus, talk to John Daniels. And Pujols talked about him and said that the thing that he loved about the relationship that he and Adrian Beltre have now, which was very competitive back in the day, and two guys from the same home country. But he said, I was just playing golf with him a couple of weeks ago in the Dominican Republic. I was with him in Dubai. I feel like we've built the relationship over the last two or three years towards the end of the career, towards the end of my career. And that's something that I love about us. He says he does it from the heart. He doesn't do it to put his name in the paper. That to me is what makes Adrian Beltre really special, is just the authenticity, the love that he has for the game. One of the things Elvis Andrus said in here that I thought was kind of odd. I'd never heard this said about Adrian Beltre before. But he's telling all these same sort of stories about him messing with him and touching his head and doing these sort of things and all the reactions they'd get. And I think we all felt like that was just playful stuff. Apparently, a lot of other people did not take it as playful at all. He said a lot of people were scared of Adrian. He said, I never understood that because he was the type of person who, if you did things correctly and played hard and played to win, he was never going to have a problem with you. I never saw him have a problem with anyone who did things right and got to the field to give their heart every day to win. That's the only thing he asked from us as his teammates. And it wasn't just that he asked for it. It's what he gave us. I had never had the impression that Adrian was.
Yeah, but you could see, like I didn't think it was a playful reaction all the time when someone touched his head.
Sure.
You could you could see some anger in there.
When we played the clip earlier of Kinsler as one of the people that's talking about him, the first thing I thought about was 2013 near the end of the season. It was the last game or two of Ian Kinsler's career, and they got in a disagreement on the field that we later found out from descriptions got so much worse when they went into the clubhouse, and that he and Belcher were just like really going at it in a really aggressive manner. And Ian was like, that's when I knew we were probably in some trouble, is because it's never good to have the two leaders of the team in front of everybody fighting like that. But I mean, he clearly has an edge because he had that sort of a run in with Kinsler. But John Daniels said the thing that he talked about the ESPN was just the all world legendary pain tolerance, apparently, of Adrian Beltre. So in the middle of June 2015, it was 3 weeks into Adrian Beltre's latest stint on the injured list. He was nursing a torn ligament in his left thumb, which he jammed while sliding into second base on the final night of May. A hand specialist met with Beltre, his agent Scott Boras, the Rangers medical staff in Anaheim, and informed him that surgery was the only path to improvement. Everybody but Beltre agreed. He said, can I make it worse? Beltre had already received a cortisone injection that did not take. The pain was excruciating. He was told once again that an invasive surgery was the only option left. He said, yeah, but can I make it worse? And John Daniels, the Rangers head of baseball operations at the time, was baffled but unsurprised. So when he was told, no, you can't make it worse, it's just going to hurt like hell, then he said, all right, then I'm going to play through it. And John Daniels and everybody looked at him was like, are you serious? You're going to, this is clearly causing you a lot of pain. You're just going to keep going. He's like, I can go. I can play through it. And that this is something that over the course of his career, there were just several different times where it's Adrian Beltre is clearly in pain. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get him to come off. And he's like, I can play through it. If it's just a matter of pain tolerance, if I'm not going to be worse, if it's not going to be made worse, I can deal with pain. That's not a problem. And he said there was a healthy fear of Adrian Beltre throughout the organization. That they were just, nobody's going to, it's sort of the Jason Witten effect. Nobody's going to tell him to come off the field. Nobody's going to tell him you can't go out there. But I like that as a description of healthy fear throughout the organization. Not just teams, but even up to management, the front office, they had a little bit of concern.
Pain tolerance is, for an that's one of the more important things of being a professional athlete, is being able to manage, because you're going to get hurt. It doesn't matter what sport you're playing. You're gonna have to find ways to play through pain. That's what I think. It upsets fans when this guy's always hurt, or this guy, you know, Bassi will talk about some pitchers just can't pitch when they're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've got to be 100%. Otherwise, there's like, I'm not gonna go. What? And if you, and like what Beltre said, if you can't hurt it anymore, you'll see a lot of guys try to fight through it.
JD said that when you saw the couple times Adrian Beltre went on the IL in the screw, he's like, guarantee you it was bad. If he was on the IL, it was bad, because he said there were sometimes he'd call him into his office, tell him he was going on the IL, and he said Adrian Beltre would go, no, I'm not going on, I'll talk to you later, and would leave his office. And John Daniels was like, okay, well, I guess I don't know what to do here. I thought I was in charge, but I guess not. I guess Adrian's in charge here. And that would probably create a little tension, I would imagine, where it's like, you're not going to just blow me off and tell me no. But he said that there were just several times where he'd tell him he's going on, Beltre would say, I'm not, and good luck trying to put me on, and would walk off.
Congratulations to the great Adrian Beltre for heading into Cooperstown. Sandler with a trivia question.
All right, let's do it.
Adrian Beltre is the seventh third baseman to make it on the first ballot. Who are the other six?
Mike Schmidt.
Yep.
Brooks.
Wade Boggs.
Yes. Yes.
Brooks Robinson, yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know if
Roland... Are we counting Ripken?
He played short.
But he played third at the back end of his career.
That doesn't count.
Okay.
That's why I asked.
That's why you're young.
Let's do... Did Scott Rowland make it on his first?
No.
Oh, man. The list of third basemen is not...
I mean, these are all big names.
Give me a...
90s, not 90s, oh, Braves.
Chipper.
Next generation Chipper. All-time crab leg story. This guy tried to get me fired.
Jameis Winston?
Oh, no, George Brett.
George Brett. Yeah. And then just a technician of a hitter in now the National League Central...
Paul Molitor.
Good job. There you go. Schmidt, Brett.
I thought they would have given him a...
Molitor, sure. Yeah. Boggs, Chipper, Beltre, and Brooks. Okay. I was wondering if these two baseball stories were real. You know, you have to triple check everything. Let's play the first.
Castellanos lifts one a deep left field. Going back is Reynolds. It is gone. A long home run for Nick Castellanos. His 14th of the year. 50 RBIs, and it's 6-0 Phillies.
Okay, Someone said that was happening as Biden was withdrawing yesterday. And the full list of Castellanos home runs during significant events was put out. Apology for homophobic slur use on the broadcast. Is that Tom Brenneman?
Tom Brenneman.
Yep.
And he's back?
He's back.
He's back. He's calling Pac-12 and ACC games.
What Pac-12?
Whatever is remnant of the Pac-12.
Castellanos did that. We've heard that. Career-threatening injury for Tatis. Eulogy for World War II veteran. We played that. A 9/11 tribute video package on the air. Apology of opposing team's coach getting a DUI. 10 minutes after Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. 10 minutes after, I don't know, that doesn't count. Dwayne Haskins' death. Memorial Day tribute package on air. Eulogy for the just-deceased PA announcer for the stadium. Cancer announcement for his team's owner. Vin Scully death announcement. An hour after the death of Queen Elizabeth was announced. A bridge collapse killing several people. The Ocean Gate submarine explosion. Three other celebrity deaths. Two home runs on the anniversary of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Assassination attempt on Trump and Biden withdrawing. That's what the internet is trying to say Castellanos has done during all of his home runs.
I knew the Trump. I thought the Trump one was like an hour before. They're taking some liberties on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of liberties because the first two or three were hilarious. One was Brenneman. And then the next one was Kansas City was.
I didn't think what Tom said was hilarious.
Nah, that's not what I meant. The Brenneman one. The other one was the apologizing for a first base coach. Like they were saying, well, we got to, you know, talk about this first base coach was arrested for drunk driving. We have to address it. And in the middle of doing that, like Castellanos was at bat and got a base hit and they had to interrupt it to call his base hit. And like the first three or whatever were legitimate. I'm sure I could find a bunch of players who have homered on those dates together. That's not just Castellanos.
All right. Speaking of withdrawing, how worried should President Trump be now? Move over 1080. Sean, RJ, and Bobby.
That's right.
Have you covered.
Politics covered, baby.
With the story that's taken over the world, next on The Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
This is going to end it. Xander Schauffele with a par on the 18th hole. He is the winner of the 152nd Open Championship at Royal Troon Golf Club with a score of 9 under par for 72 holes. He is your champion golfer of the year.
There's the call on PGA Radio, and RJ Choppy says, move over, Scotty Scheffler. You are not the best golfer in the world. And you're not talking about just obviously like right now this morning after this tournament or the last two majors?
Just like right now. Now Xander's not, the best golfer in the world, the number one ranking on the official world golf rankings is different than who the best golfer in the world is. I mean, Scotty wins all the regular tournaments. There's no doubt about that. But in a major championship, Xander he's won two different tournaments now, right? He won obviously the PGA and the British Open. You could not ask for two more contrasting styles of golf than the British Open, really in any of them. If you were to compare it to tennis, like the British Open is the French Open.
Yeah.
The U.S. Open and the PGA are the Australian Open and then the U.S. Open, obviously. And then Masters and Wimbledon are kind of similar, right? So the style is so different. And I think that is part of what I'm trying to say here, because like Scotty has won his two majors just at the Masters. That the Masters is the same course every year, obviously, and it sets up for certain guys. It's really the easiest tournament to win when you consider it's the smallest field. There's only 85 to 90 golfers at the Masters. And quite frankly, there's really only about 20 guys that can win, because you either play well there or you don't. There's not kind of like, oh, I'm having a good week. No, the same guys are almost always the contention at Augusta. Certain guys don't play well at the British Open, but Xander winning at the PGA, then winning here, like that's pretty stark difference. We need to see Scotty win a major at a tournament that isn't the Masters. Now, he can win everywhere else, and he does. I mean, trust me, that there is January to September is not a better golfer on the planet. But he just hasn't done it at a major other than Augusta.
This is my first time seeing what Xander Schauffele looks like as I'm Googling and taking a look at his face.
Really?
Not what I was expecting, I'll be honest. I didn't think of that. I was thinking much more like looks much older than I was anticipating, and looks a little more. I was expecting like entitled like douchebag that comes from wealthy family and has the what's it called, affluenza. Like I was expecting like to see a picture of a guy who I go like, yeah, that'd be a guy who'd use an affluenza defense in like a drunk driving case or something.
Rory McIlroy is catching heat. He had these thoughts on Friday, second round. Was that what?
Yeah,
it was?
So he got knocked out. He didn't make the cut, and this was after his round on Friday, talking about his frame of mind while the round was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think once I made the 8 on the fourth hole, like that was it. You know, 22 holes into the event, and I'm thinking about where I'm going to go on vacation next week. So, yeah, that was basically it. You know, I mean, I knew from then I'd sort of resigned myself to the fact that, you know, I wasn't going to shoot whatever it was, you know, 4 or 5 under from there on in to make the cut. So, yeah, it was a pretty meaningless 14 holes after that, but you know, at least I played okay, and you know, at least feel like, you know, as I said, when the wind dropped, my game felt, you know, it felt a little more comfortable for me, and I hit some good shots.
Twitter had a field day with this.
Of course they did.
Certified loser, 16 holes to play, and you don't think you can go 4 or 5 under. So many better golfers out there. Disrespectful statement. This mentality is why you can't win a major. I think he has 4. He's a quitter. You took a month off for that. So much for that soul-searching mission you were on. My God, Rory, you suck. Great talent. This is poor. Tiger was out there grinding to the end with a broken body, even when it was clear he couldn't make the cut. Seve was the same in his prime. They had absolute professional pride. Man, they had a field day with Rory. Saying he was last 14 holes, he was thinking about going on vacation. because he knew he was going to miss the cut.
Tolo Chris says Rory has made himself completely unlikable. How about that?
What a year for him. Because he was defending the sport.
He was the hero.
He was the hero, defended the sport, and then the sport decides to do an about face and hang him out to dry. And he has been in a tailspin ever since. Like, his marriage was breaking up. Now it's back.
Yep.
He completely, I thought that U.S. Open, if he had won that, what a turnaround. Like, your marriage falls apart, then you come back, and then all of a sudden you win the U.S. Open. Well, he blew it, had a two-stroke lead with like six to play, blows that. And then now this, like, what a roller coaster year and a half for Rory McIlroy.
Monogamy is not for golfers. As soon as Rory cleaned up the marriage, he started going downhill. Tiger Woods, same sort of thing. We're clearly seeing that they need some sort of active release.
President Biden drops out of the race yesterday. The news that rocked the world, or maybe it didn't, because there were many who were speculating that it was going to happen. As we do on this show, we're just going to bring you a lot of the reactions. You can chime in however you want on the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. The debate in Atlanta ended it. This is not what Donald Trump wanted. President Biden then goes to endorse Vice President Kamala Harris. Nancy Pelosi, apparently behind the scenes, was telling Biden, you have no chance of winning. The donations dried up. Pelosi, I guess, has been quietly suggesting this to our own private convention, an attack on democracy.
Oh, yeah. People love private, just to have a private convention, just to let my gosh.
Biden is obviously too unfit to be the president right now. This was a coup. Should you really trust the other side? And Trump is now the oldest nominee for president in American history. These are all the headlines and the reactions.
I saw Biden's largest, one of his mega donors, John Morgan, is an Esquire. I still don't know what an Esquire, I don't know what the difference between Esquire and a regular attorney is, but whatever. He said, he puts it on Twitter.
I thought you were talking about the magazine.
Joe Biden's endorsement of Kamala Harris is his FU to all who pushed him out. And he said he will not help fundraise if she's the nominee. I'll believe that when I see it. If you're a donor, you're a donor.
Suckers right. And losers.
You want to do what's best for your party, whoever the party is. So you're going to wind up doing that.
So he's trying to say that Biden is not trying to get Harris in?
No. He's saying, well,
now he doesn't like her.
He doesn't think she can win.
Her.
So he's like, I'm going to throw my backing to her because I'm going to tell all you to screw yourselves. You guys are pushing me out. So I'm just going to endorse her. My endorsement carries a lot of weight, and it will. Because the Obamas have not endorsed her yet. They will if she's the nominee.
A lot of wait and see.
There's a lot of wait and see. They're taking the wait and see approach.
What'd you think, Bob?
I was, so first off, because it was such a busy weekend, like we covered at 7:40, you guys broke the news to me that Biden had dropped out, and I saw this at 2:57 or something when you guys so I was like 2 hours behind the rest of the world because you guys texted at like 1 o'clock. So I had no idea this was going on for about 2 hours. I was very unplugged. But it was, I don't know. I guess it's not a surprise. It felt like over the last 2 weeks, this is where it was heading, was that they were going to push him out.
Yeah.
I'm curious to really see why they think this will help though.
Well, because it was a done deal with Biden in. It was a guaranteed loss.
I think probably, but like to me, like I don't think this helps them at all. Like I think it actually solidifies that they've lost.
Well, I think the thought process I would have is, all right, we know we're going to lose. We may lose by more now, but we knew we were going to lose. We may get blown out more.
This is reset the quarterback. You know, we know the guy we have now can't get us to the Super Bowl. Might be worse with the next guy, but maybe you go.
Yeah, but this late in the game, right? Like we're at V1. All right. This is rotate. This is time to take off. You can't bail on takeoff at this point. Because to me, this looks, if you're trying to get things going in a certain direction for 4 years from now, then just take your lumps now. If you know you're already gonna lose, take your lumps now, be done with it instead of scrambling and potentially looking like you were just talking about there. If they're going to do this private convention to select, it's going to look very...
You're not happy about the process.
Oh, I think that's a terrible process. I mean, the American people need to vote on who gets the nominee, not 4,000 people in a private party. Like that to me is not electing... That's not a general election. I have a major problem with that. I hate the process. Now, what are you going to do? Now, could you do an emergency
Vote.
Hey, tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday. They do all these elections on Tuesday. Tomorrow, if you can get out there and vote, if you're, you're going to primary the party, go out there and do that. But I have a major problem with just a couple of elites putting their person in. Now, maybe they
do that
anyway.
Which is what you were thinking this was all designed for anyway. You said this a couple weeks ago.
Because the conspiracy out there had been like they were always going to push him out. And they were just waiting for a reason that they could do it and not look like the big bad wolf that's out there just trying to push some old guy out. They knew they were going to do this all along. And look, again, now maybe they do have these elitist judge anyway, and the whole thing's fake. There's another conspiracy theory out there if you want that none of these votes matter anyway. It's all the deep state. But I have a major problem with them just announcing and picking somebody.
Yeah, the fan text started running away with the quarterback comparisons. People are saying, so are you saying that Biden is Dak? 903 says, is the Democratic Party in quarterback purgatory? Is that what we're saying here? And so
I saw a Tolo ask Choppy for odds, but I got him from Bet Online. The Democratic nominee, 1, 2, 3, or guess the entire list if you want.
Kamala's
1 to 10. -1,000.
-1,000.
Yeah.
So then Hillary and or Gavin
just
Newsom
guess
in
one.
Any order.
You're incorrect on both.
Michelle Obama.
Stick to sports. Michelle Obama. Shut up and talk, Bobby. Michelle Obama, 18-1 is second. Newsom is third at 20-1. Gretchen is 25.
Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah, Whitmer. Then Josh Shapiro, who some people are thinking.
Ben's brother.
Is, well, I'll get to that in a second. And then Hillary Clinton is 100-1. VP favorite.
The Pennsylvania governor.
Josh Shapiro is 9-1. Roy Cooper's next. Then Mark Kelly. Andy Beshear,
is that the other one?
Yeah. And then you mix them all in together against former President Trump. The favorite to become the next president is
Trump.
It is Trump at 1-2, minus 200. Then Harris at plus 185. Then Michelle Obama at 25-1. Gavin Newsom and Whitmer both at 40-1. So that's where we stand with all the politics that broke out yesterday.
Yeah. I wonder how much of it they're just going to say, let's just run out the clock here, versus they would potentially, like a name like Whitmer is interesting because that's Michigan, and obviously, like,
yeah, they need those states.
Rust Belt carrying was big for Trump in 2016, and that kind of flipped things again in 20. So
we've run through the offensive side of the ball, so let's start breaking down the D ahead of Oxnard. Yeah. Part 6 of Cowboys inventory from Bobby Belt and Below the Belt next. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
You might not have a starter on your defensive line as we head to training camp. We're going to look at the defensive side of the ball as we've done roster inventory the last several days. Finished up the offense last week. Now we're looking at the defensive side of the ball. Going to do defensive line today, linebackers tomorrow, and then the secondary on Wednesday before we get to training camp on Thursday. Get out there to Oxnard. Ready to rock, ready to party. Any interests as we head into Oxnard week? Anything that we're like particularly got our eye on?
Yeah, what dinner place we're picking for the group outing?
This is supposed to be your job, right?
I'll take care of it. I need a head count. I need to set up a group chat, get a head count going. And,
what type of food are you looking at? Because you can't eat marinara anymore, right? So we're ruling out Italian.
I can't. I think it's one where it's like the preservatives and stuff. If it's fresh, I could probably eat it. I know, we're thinking of a little cantina action, I think.
Okay, cool. As long as the alcohol's flowing, I'm good. I'm ready to go. By the way, I don't know, should I even say this? It's probably gonna sound bad, but I did finish off the very last of those three bottles you gave me yesterday.
Okay.
God, that's quick.
Well, how long ago was it?
End of June. So 3 weeks for three bottles.
Oh. That is a lot.
It's not quick because of the amount of alcohol to me. It's quick because of the cost of the alcohol. Like, those are ones you say.
But I enjoyed them. I wasn't just shooting them.
What does Rogers call it? How many fingers, knuckles? Right, yeah. Oh, how many knuckles did you take? Fingers did you take?
Yeah.
How many are you taking down? Are you taking on two fingers, three fingers?
I don't judge it by fingers. I don't ask myself how many fingers am I taking. Yeah, I instead
like this, three fingers like this or four fingers.
Yeah, probably.
That's what they say.
It is. It really.
That's
is.
What it is.
It
really is.
Yeah.
Well, how many do you think he takes,
Bobby? Yeah. Oh, Bobby.
Was this before or after I drank?
But Bobby easily can handle three fingers.
Okay, so a three-finger pour.
After I've had two fingers, after I've drank the
two. So you probably take two three-fingers.
I don't know. It's probably like, so when I take one of those.
You take three and three.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, typically. That's exactly how it goes.
I do think of that, unfortunately, every time I pour, I think of that freaking Aaron Rodgers.
I know.
I'm like, is this two fingers or three fingers?
No, honestly, I've got a glass that I use, a rocks glass, that it's just, there's little, it's like little square designs on the side, and so I just pour up to one of those lines. So typically it's like, is it a square, is it two square, or something like that.
Now, were you chugging these?
No.
Okay.
I was chugging a little bit of the Belfour, but otherwise, no. I was just having drinks. Okay, the defensive line for the Cowboys this year looks wildly different in the sense that that's been a position group.
Bro,
that,
don't do that after we just had that conversation.
I'm sorry. I'm just
put your leg all the way on top of the table, stretching after we just had that discussion.
Got them all worked up now. we've got the defensive line has generally over the last several years been one of the deeper positions on the team, that every year it feels like they've got multiple guys who, all right, if D-Law goes down or if they have an injury here, they've got a competent edge rusher to step in and start. Dorrance Armstrong, Randy Gregory didn't start a lot of times, but Randy Gregory, if he could step in and start, like, you'd get that there. When they've had Robert Quinn, or in recent years when they had, gosh, why am I blanking on his name? Dante Fowler was a guy who could be a starter on some teams and in some situations, and you were having him come in and do situational pass rushing. So they had Jonathan Hankins last year on their defensive line. Oso Odighizuwa. They had a lot of depth along the defensive line years past. They lost a lot of it this year, and they didn't do a ton to replace it, obviously, in free agency. Mm-hmm. And the guys they drafted, Marshawn Nyland was the second-round pick. That's a higher investment, but Marshawn Nyland is a bit raw. Like, he's still coming along a little bit. There's probably going to be a learning curve there, as there often is with defensive linemen. So you're going to have a little bit of that. And then the other guy that they drafted was a seventh round pick, a defensive tackle, Justin Rogers from Auburn. Justin Rogers has one of the better chances of any rookie in this class to start on this football team. This is their defensive tackle group. I know people have talked about, they need to get stronger there. I don't know if people realize exactly how no name it is. You've got Oso Odighizuwa, who is a three technique. Great. Okay. Solidifies that. That holds that down. This is the rest of their defensive tackle. Mazi Smith. Tons of questions there. Justin Rogers, who I just mentioned.
Never heard of him before that.
Carl Davis.
Heard of Carlton Davis.
Denzel Daxon.
For real? Are you making that name up to trick us?
No. That is their entire defensive tackle group on the roster right now. Every year, it feels like when we get to the
Where's Hankins?
Where did he go? I can't remember where he went. He went off to, I want to say it was the Raiders, but I know
Seattle.
That's not right. Seattle. Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause he went with, Adden Dirty. So they've lost all of their defensive tackle depth. A lot of their defensive end depth. They've got Sam Williams, DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, obviously, but the rest of the defensive end group is Junior Fajoko, fourth round pick last year, who didn't play at all. Chauncey Golston, who has been kind of a tweener inside-outside that they haven't been able to figure out what they want to do with him consistently. Darrell Johnson from Liberty, who is a practice squad guy. Nyland, who we just mentioned. Tyrus Wheat, second-year player from Mississippi State. And then Sam Williams. This is your two guys that you've had the last couple years that you picked that you either had growing pains with or off-the-field issues with. They need massive performances and a big-time training camp from Sam Williams to give them realistic depth on the edge, and Mazi Smith to make sure that they're solid at defensive tackle.
There was a great G-bag question the other day. Who gets more sacks this year, Sam Williams or Tank?
Yeah, that was my question that I asked Brian on Love of the Star, and then he turned it out, I guess.
Oh!
I would guess.
Way to bring it to our show first.
All right. I would guess Tank. I don't know why.
It was Sam Williams last year.
I don't know why I would guess Tank, but
because he's more of a known name.
Maybe, yeah.
Here's the only issue with Sam Williams.
Oh, the only?
The only issue with potentially him getting enough reps to be able to be out there and get those sacks. no matter how thin the edge rusher group is, and maybe this is negligence, or you might feel it's negligence, no matter how thin the pass rush group is out there, if he has his stupid penalties, if he does dumb stuff,
yeah,
Zimmer will not play him.
Mm. What are the...
Zimmer does not play dumb players.
What are the differences going to be with what Mike Zimmer asks the D-line to do, of anything, versus Quinn?
I don't think a lot is going to be different on the defense. It's going to be more the secondary. The secondary, you're going to see a lot more changes because of everything that they... When you see busts in coverage in Quinn's defense, that'll give you some pause, and we'll get into it on Wednesday a little bit. That'll give you some pause when you see exactly how much Zimmer likes to disguise pre and post snap. I mean, they gave Justin Jefferson, or not Justin Jefferson, they've given fits to just various receivers over the years because the way that Zimmer plays defense, Julio Jones used to have a hell of a time against Zimmer because they would do stuff like, you've got a corner on him in press man looking like he's covering this, and then at the snap of the ball, it's a complete switch where it's the safety's coming up to play corner, the corner's dropping back to play the deep middle, and it's just, you're asked to cover a lot of ground. You're asked to know where you're supposed to be at all times. It can cause a lot of confusion. Defensive line's not going to be as much of a problem, I don't think. The incorporation of the double A gap blitzes, which is where they have two linebackers or a safety and a linebacker or different
mugging,
guys like that.
Mugging.
They're standing over each side of the center, and they're just preparing to rush. And those sort of things, those sort of communications, twists, stunts, they're going to have to deal with on the defensive line. But I think that this is... Sam Williams, to me, if he continues to have issues with after play penalties, or has some sort of problems off the field, or is late for practice, or whatever is there, if you start having those issues stack up, Zimmer's just not going to play him. And Zimmer will, you know, just say, no, I'm not going to have undisciplined football players out here. I'll make sure that that's not happening. I mean, he's got a history of doing that at just about every stop that he's been at. If you're reckless, if you're undisciplined, he'll sit you. If Micah Parsons is reckless and undisciplined at times, he will sit Micah. Like, that's it. That's something that'll happen. And so it's going to be absolutely critical for Sam Williams, just for their depth at defensive end, absolutely critical that Sam Williams doesn't have the same sort of mistakes that we've seen over the first couple of years here, where it feels so reliable that he's going to have some sort of... He'll make a big splash play, but then, oh, it's a 15-yard penalty on the next drive.
Yeah.
Or, oh, he's jumping off sides. Or, oh, it's a late hit that had no bit. You had no business engaging in it. So, big training camp for Sam Williams. Big thing to determine Sam Williams' future, I think, in terms of within this defense, is how he interacts with Mike Zimmer. But Mozzie Smith is going to be the other one. And Mozzie Smith, because of the shoulder surgery, he missed, like, all of their OTAs. He missed their OTAs.
That's good.
He missed their mini camp. Pounds.
Did he get the stuff out of his, what'd you say?
Did he lose like 400 pounds?
He lost 40.
And his Storage Wars locker.
Did he get that back?
He did not. He lost 40 pounds over the course of last season, which they drafted him to be a giant run stuffer in the middle. And by the time the season was over, he was under 300 pounds after being drafted at like 335. So this year, Zimmer's talked about during the offseason, need him to get his weight up. He's up a little bit, and whenever anybody said, well, what weight do you want to see him at? He's like, yeah, I'm not talking about that with you guys, and I'm just not going to tell you. Because I don't think he wants necessarily constant questions about, is he making weight? Is he here? Because that became a talking point at the end of last season that the Cowboys had to deal with. I think it's something that Zimmer wants to internally hold him accountable for, have standards for, but they need him to be ready to go immediately to be their starting one technique. Because if he's not ready to go,
belly.
Justin Rogers, their seventh round pick from Auburn, he might be your starting one technique defensive tackle because they have no other options. In years past, they've gotten into training camp and gone, oh man, we don't have a good enough safety group. Go sign Malik Hooker. Oh man, the linebacker group's not good enough. We need to go out and get Anthony Barr. If you're looking for a position where they enter training camp and two practices into it, we could be sitting out there and hearing breaking news that they've signed somebody, it'll be defensive tackle because if Mozzie's not ready to perform, they might not have a single one technique that they feel like can play snaps, not just start, play snaps on the team.
It's just crazy how if you just moved here in March and never followed football before, you would think that we're talking about a 6-11 team.
Every year.
This offseason.
Right, but you would think that you were talking about one that just has been 6-11 for years and years, because that's how depressed we are.
Because, I mean,
like, running back, problem. Yep. Offensive line, worry. That was not a positive defensive line preview. Mm-mm. Linebacker, forever. Quarterback situation. What about number three, wideout? Talking about them like a, you know, that's the feel. I'm not blaming.
On defense, you'll see a theme this week. They have starters. You feel pretty good about their starters pretty much across the board on defense. They have no depth this year. They lost all that depth in free agency and did not do a lot to replenish it. That's where they really cost themselves. Pie. Yeah, I mean, look, that's what happens when Dak wants his 60. Selfish Dak. That's what it is. Thanks a lot, Dak.
All right, there it is. B-Low, the belt, with our first show from Oxnard, California, Thursday morning on the home of America's team. RJ Choppy says, don't be giving up on the Rangers making the playoffs yet. We got some baseball diamond Cavs to kick off the final hour of the Monday edition after this. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
You might not have a starter on your defensive line as we head to training camp. We're going to look at the defensive side of the ball as we've done roster inventory the last several days. Finished up the offense last week. Now we're looking at the defensive side of the ball. Going to do defensive line today, linebackers tomorrow, and then the secondary on Wednesday before we get to training camp on Thursday. Get out there to Oxnard. Ready to rock. Ready to party. Any interests as we head into Oxnard week? Anything that we're, like, particularly got our eye on?
Yeah, what dinner place we're picking for the group outing.
This is supposed to be your job, right?
I'll take care of it. I need a head count. I need to set up a group chat, get a head count going.
What type of food are you looking at? Because you can't eat marinara anymore, right? So we're ruling out Italian.
I can't. I think it's one where it's like the preservatives and stuff. If it's fresh, I could probably eat it.
I know. We're thinking of a little cantina
action, I think.
Okay, cool. As long as the alcohol's flowing, I'm good. I'm ready to go. By the way, I don't know. Should I even say this? It's probably gonna sound bad, but I did finish off the very last of those three bottles you gave me yesterday.
Okay.
God, that's quick.
Well, how long ago was it?
End of June. So 3 weeks for three bottles.
Oh, that is a lot.
It's not quick because of the amount of alcohol to me. It's quick because of the cost of the alcohol. Like, those are ones you say.
But I enjoyed them. I wasn't just shooting them.
What does Rogers call it? How many fingers, knuckles? Right, yeah. Oh, I mean, knuckles did you take? Fingers did you take?
Yeah.
How many are you? How many are you taking down? Are you taking on two fingers, three fingers?
I don't judge it by fingers. I don't ask myself how many fingers am I taking. Yeah, I instead
like this, three fingers like this or four fingers.
Yeah, probably.
That's what they say.
It is. It really.
That's what it is.
It really is.
Yeah.
How many do you think he takes,
Bobby?
Yeah. Oh,
Bobby.
Was this before or after I drank?
But Bobby easily can handle three fingers.
Okay, so a three-finger pour.
After I've had two fingers. After I've drank the
two. So you probably take two three-fingers.
I don't know. It's probably like, so when I take one of those.
You take three and three.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, typically. That's exactly how it goes.
I do think of that. Unfortunately, every time I pour, I think of that freaking Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, is this two fingers or three fingers?
No, honestly, I've got a glass that I use, a rocks glass, that it's just, there's little, it's like little square designs on the side. And so I just pour up to one of those lines. So typically it's like, is it a square? Is it two square or something like that?
Now, were you chugging these?
No.
Okay.
I was chugging a little bit of the Belfour, but otherwise, no. I was just having drinks. Okay, the defensive line for the Cowboys this year looks wildly different in the sense that that's been a position group.
Bro,
that,
don't do that after we just had that conversation.
I'm sorry. I'm just
put your leg all the way up top on the table, stretching after we just had that discussion.
Got
them
all worked up now. we've got the defensive line has generally over the last several years been one of the deeper positions on the team, that every year it feels like they've got multiple guys who, all right, if D-Law goes down or if they have an injury here, they've got a competent edge rusher to step in and start. Dorrance Armstrong, Randy Gregory didn't start a lot of times, but Randy Gregory, if he could step in and start, like, you'd get that there. When they've had Robert Quinn, or in recent years when they had, gosh, why am I blanking on his name? Dante Fowler was a guy who could be a starter in some on some teams and in some situations, and you were having him come in and do situational pass rushing. So they had Jonathan Hankins last year on their defensive line. Oso Odighizuwa. They had a lot of depth along the defensive line years past. They lost a lot of it this year, and they didn't do a ton to replace it, obviously, in free agency. Mm-hmm. And the guys they drafted, Marshawn Nyland was the second-round pick. That's a higher investment. But Marshawn Nyland is a bit raw. Like, he's still coming along a little bit. There's probably going to be a learning curve there, as there often is with defensive linemen. So you're going to have a little bit of that. And then the other guy that they drafted was a seventh-round pick, a defensive tackle, Justin Rogers from Auburn. Justin Rogers has one of the better chances of any rookie in this class to start on this football team. This is their defensive tackle group. I know people have talked about, they need to get stronger there. I don't know if people realize exactly how no-name it is. You've got Oso Odighizuwa, who is a three technique. Great, okay. Solidifies that. That holds that down. This is the rest of their defensive tackle room. Mozzie Smith, tons of questions there. Justin Rogers, who I just mentioned.
Never heard of him before that.
Carl Davis.
Heard of Carlton Davis.
Denzel Daxon.
No. For real? Are you making that name up to trick us?
No, that is their entire defensive tackle group on the roster right now. Every year, it feels like when we get to the
Where's Hankins?
Where did he go? I can't remember where he went. He went off to... I want to say it was the Raiders, but I know
Seattle.
That's not right. Seattle. Yeah, oh yeah, because he went with Adden Dirty. So they've lost all of their defensive tackle depth, a lot of their defensive end depth. They've got Sam Williams, DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, obviously, but the rest of the defensive end group is Junior Fajoko, fourth-round pick last year, who didn't play at all. Chauncey Golston, who has been kind of a tweener inside-outside that they haven't been able to figure out what they want to do with him consistently. Darrell Johnson from Liberty, who is a practice squad guy. Nyland, who we just mentioned. Tyrus Wheat, second-year player from Mississippi State. And then Sam Williams. This is your two guys that you've had the last couple years that you picked that you either had growing pains with or off-field issues with. They need massive performances and a big-time training camp from Sam Williams to give them realistic depth on the edge, and Mozzie Smith to make sure that they're solid at defensive tackle.
That was a great G-bag question the other day. Who gets more sacks this year, Sam Williams or Tank?
Yeah, that was my question that I asked Brian on Love of the Star, and then he turned it out, I guess.
Oh! I would guess. Way to bring it to our show first.
Right. I would guess Tank. I don't know why.
It was Sam Williams last year.
I guess I don't know why I would guess Tank, but
because he's more of a known name.
Maybe yeah.
Here's the only issue with Sam Williams.
Oh, the only.
The only issue with potentially him getting enough reps to be able to be out there and get those sacks. No matter how thin the edge rusher group is, and maybe this is negligence, or you might feel it's negligence. No matter how thin the pass rush group is out there, if he has his stupid penalties. If he does dumb stuff,
yeah.
Zimmer will not play him.
What are the
Zimmer doesn't play? Zimmer does not play dumb players.
What are the differences going to be with what Mike Zimmer asks the D line to do, of anything, versus Quinn?
I don't think a lot is going to be different on the defense. It's going to be more the secondary. The secondary, you're going to see a lot more changes because of everything that when you see busts in coverage in Quinn's defense. That'll give you some pause, and we'll get into it on Wednesday a little bit. That'll give you some pause when you see exactly how much Zimmer likes to disguise pre and post snap. I mean, they gave Justin Jefferson, or not Justin Jefferson, they've given fits to just various receivers over the years because the way that Zimmer plays defense, Julio Jones used to have a hell of a time against Zimmer because they would do stuff like you've got a corner on him, in press man, looking like he's covering this, and then at the snap of the ball, it's a complete switch where it's the safety's coming up to play corner. The corner's dropping back to play the deep middle. And it's just, you're asked to cover a lot of ground. You're asked to know where you're supposed to be at all times. It can cause a lot of confusion. Defensive line's not going to be as much of a problem, I don't think. The incorporation of the double A gap blitzes, which is where they have two linebackers or a safety and a linebacker or different
muggin,
guys like that.
Muggin.
They're basically standing over each side of the center. And they're just preparing to rush. And those sort of things, those sort of communications, twists, stunts, they're going to have to deal with on the defensive line. But I think that this is Sam Williams to me. If he continues to have issues with after play penalties or has some sort of problems off the field or is late for practice or whatever is there, if you start having those issues stack up, Zimmer's just not going to play him. And Zimmer, you know, just said, no, I'm not going to have undisciplined football players out here. I'll make sure that that's not happening. I mean, he's got a history of doing that at just about every stop that he's been at. If you're reckless, if you're undisciplined, he'll sit you. If Micah Parsons is reckless and undisciplined at times, he will sit Micah. Like, that's it. That's something that'll happen. And so it's going to be absolutely critical for Sam Williams, just for their depth at defensive end, absolutely critical that Sam Williams doesn't have the same sort of mistakes that we've seen over the first couple years here, where it feels so reliable that he's going to have some sort of, he'll make a big splash play, but then, oh, it's a 15-yard penalty on the next drive.
Yeah.
Or, oh, he's jumping off sides. Or, oh, it's a late hit that had no bit, you had no business engaging in it. So, big training camp for Sam Williams. Big thing to determine Sam Williams' future, I think, in terms of within this defense, is how he interacts with Mike Zimmer. But Mozzie Smith is going to be the other one. And Mozzie Smith, because of the shoulder surgery, he missed, like, all of their OTAs. He missed their OTAs. That's good. He missed their like mini camps.
Did he get the stuff out of his, what'd you say?
Did he lose like 400 pounds?
He lost 40.
And his Storage Wars locker.
Did he get that back?
He did not. He lost 40 pounds over the course of last season, which they drafted him to be a giant run stuffer in the middle. And by the time the season was over, he was under 300 pounds after being drafted at like 335. So this year, Zimmer's talked about during the offseason, need him to get his weight up. He's up a little bit, and whenever anybody said, well, what weight do you want to see him at? He's like, yeah, I'm not talking about that with you guys. I'm just not going to tell you. Because I don't think he wants necessarily constant questions about, is he making weight? Is he here? Because that became a talking point at the end of last season that the Cowboys had to deal with. I think it's something that Zimmer wants to internally hold him accountable for, have standards for, but they need him to be ready to go immediately to be their starting one technique. Because if he's not ready to go,
belly.
Justin Rogers, their seventh round pick from Auburn, he might be your starting one technique defensive tackle because they have no other options. In years past, they've gotten into training camp and gone, oh man, we don't have a good enough safety group. Go sign Malik Hooker. Oh man, the linebacker group's not good enough. We need to go out and get Anthony Barr. If you're looking for a position where they enter training camp and two practices into it, we could be sitting out there and hearing breaking news that they've signed somebody, it'll be defensive tackle because they just, if Mozzie's not ready to perform, they might not have a single one technique that they feel like can play snaps, not just start, play snaps on the team.
It's just crazy how if you just moved here in March and never followed football before, you would think that we're talking about a 6-11 team.
Every year.
No,
you would
particularly this offseason.
Right, but you would think that you were talking about one that just has been 6-11 for years and years, because that's how depressed we are.
Because, I mean,
like, running back, problem. Yep. Offensive line, worry. That was not a positive defensive line preview. Mm-mm. Linebacker, forever. Quarterback situation. What about number three wideout? Talking about them like a, you know, that's the feel. I'm not blaming.
On defense, you'll see a theme this week. They have starters. You feel pretty good about their starters pretty much across the board on defense. They have no depth this year. They lost all that depth in free agency and did not do a lot to replenish it. That's where they really cost themselves. Yeah, I mean, look, that's what happens when Dak wants his 60. Selfish Dak. That's what it is. Thanks a lot, Dak.
All right, there it is. B-Low, the belt with our first show from Oxnard, California, Thursday morning on the home of America's team. RJ Choppy says, don't be giving up on the Rangers making the playoffs yet. We got some baseball diamond Cavs to kick off the final hour of the Monday edition after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.